Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. I'm Lynn. Please like, follow, comment, and subscribe. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting and inspiring and encouraging show. My guest today is acclaimed actress, director, playwright, a woman who is determined to make some things happen, and she has always done work that I think personally has uplifted, encouraged, and inspired people of every walk of life. So, Regina, welcome, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, I am so delighted to have you here. Now, where are you originally from? I just want to find out a little bit more about you.
Originally from Dallas, Texas, born and raised.
Oh, a Texas girl. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So what was it like growing up in your household?
It was a single mother. My mother's started out as a teacher and went on to work for Social Security. She integrated in our area in Texas and Oklahoma. She was very inspiring. She believed in education and she believed in teaching her child how to dream.
Speaking of dreaming, from that mom instilling that in you, and you went on to go into acting. Now, that's a big dream. So what inspired you to go into that field? Your mom was from education.
Well, she taught me how to write. And from there, you can go any direction. You're writing your own narrative. You're placing a little chocolate girl in the center of the creation of worlds was a survival tool that she gave. And that was the plan to go. Whatever way you want to go, you start with your imagination, work hard, and you are inspired to dream big, looking at the Texas sky. So I started out as a journalism major in Dallas, Texas, Southern Methodist University, and took an acting class to fill out some credits and fell in love with that for the same reason that I love writing. I love reading, love writing, to step into the shoes of someone else that you're then finding out that we have so much in common in terms of hopes, desires, wishes, wants, and disappointments in this world, how do you deal with them? Mm-hmm. The humanity of people throughout whatever role you might be playing or whatever character you might be writing. What ties us together and the indomitability of the human spirit is something that I search for in whether I'm writing or whether I'm acting in a character.
So you search for those things and you can find them in your field of acting and explore the dreams, and then you can be anybody you want to be in acting.
Yeah. I got my first job while I was still in school.
Oh.
In acting. I did the role of Minnie Jean Brown in a CBS made-for-TV movie starring Joanne Woodward called Crisis at Central High. And that was about the first Black students to integrate the Arkansas school system. It was something then that led me to understand that you can tie the arts and activism, the arts and social justice, education, all of that can be tied together.
Now, what was it like being an African-American woman in this field of acting, because when you were coming up in it, there were limited roles there, or that we are allowed to get or were considered for.
Yes, it has been a struggle. It continues to be a struggle to a certain degree. Things have changed quite a bit now, and it's very exciting. And I think that's because there's so many platforms that are open. And so we have different ways. And Oscar Michelle figured it out a long time ago. Mm-hmm. In terms of finding that audience and doing it yourself. That was also the inspiration, Oscar Michelle's inspiration for Spike Lee. And so it continues. Here we have a lot of different platforms and ways to meet our audiences. So it doesn't necessarily have to go through the tried and true or established venues to create films, to write stories that then connect and give you an outlet. That's what's exciting right now. And so you have a lot more opportunities. You have a lot more people of color producing, writing, and shaping our narratives with great effect.
You're right. You only had limited places to where to go. And now these young folks, they create their own spaces and they put the stuff out on web series. And it's like the rest of the world has to come and find them, which is very different. I mean, it's at Issa Rae, for example.
Yes, absolutely. And again, there were fewer people doing, but you can track that spirit and you can track that opportunity back to Oscar Michelle in this country.
Oscar, yes, Oscar had to, because we didn't have outlets, Oscar had to create his own roadway.
Yeah, so these possibilities have always been there. It is in the believing in it and the creating of it and communities then investing in those, the idea of telling our stories ourselves, for us, by us.
How did you pivot, or what were you doing during the thick of the pandemic? You know, all of us had to pivot. Everything changed. So how did you pivot and make some moves, change things around during the pandemic?
I think this online thing has been a great opportunity, a widening of the world, the possibilities of this industry, certainly, has been online. So that's what I did. I was sequestered for 2020. I was still able to create pieces, both writing and directing, producing pieces online. I did several. One was for Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, where I graduated, was to create a play that I wrote for the African-American students on campus, as it were on campus, and called Resistance 2020, a series of pieces that we rehearsed online and presented live streamed.
Wow.
And then created this initiative, Black Album Mixtape, on blackalbummixtape.com, or Regina Taylor's Black Album Mixtape, that invited people, not only SMU folk, both the theater department students, but across the campus, including teachers, invited creatives across Dallas. They segues into HBCUs from Howard to Spelman to different institutions across the country and abroad, both students and adults, professionals in the fields of different ages, created pieces that we presented online and had these dialogues that were happening about what was happening this time of George Floyd and COVID and this very incendiary election period that we needed to speak on, have conversations about, because as we're seeing, this country seems to be more and more fractured and people are feeling silenced, but now is the time to speak on it.
That is so true. And then just recently, mass shooting up in Buffalo, that was, such a tragedy up there. And in the way that it was handled afterwards. And we're actually still in the throes of the after effects of that. But another one of those stories of injustice that can be a story that needs to be told, too, of the things that are going on. Yes.
Yes, we're going through major shifts in this world. And I think we have to speak on these things so that we can have a say in the outcome. It is from what we're seeing with Roe versus Wade.
Yes.
Certain pushbacks, certain things that are rolling back. And we do need to have a say in what the next step might be, either backwards or forward.
Yes, yes. And I am reading or looking at some of these roles that you've had on television and movies. You've played like iconic characters like Anita Hill in HBO's Strange Justice that won a Gracie Award. And let's see, you had 3 NAACP Image Awards, 2 Emmy nominations. What have been some of your favorite roles that you've played to date?
Oh. I have to say, I've been very blessed with some really amazing and wonderful roles. One is present on my mind right now is with Sidney Poitier, and it was a Western called A Good Day to Die. It used to be called Children of the Dust, and it later was changed to A Good Day to Die. And I always want to be in a Western, and certainly to have that opportunity with Mr. the legendary Sidney Poitier was a highlight. That I was playing opposite him in this piece, or to play with Denzel Washington, Courage Under Fire, to play with Samuel L. Jackson in The Negotiator, to play Lily Harper, which was my first TV series, was also very special in that I was able to channel the women in my family. To play a woman in late 1950s, living in the South, who was a housekeeper. And with this role, I felt it was a very special opportunity because with this character, and you think about what characters would you like to play? I loved playing this role because she had a mind. She had beyond hands and a back. She had a beautiful mind that was represented at the top of the show each time by presenting, speaking her diaries, that she had an evolution in terms of the 3-year period that we were on the air, that she became politicized and was a part of the movement, a foot soldier in the civil rights movement, that she had a body get a boyfriend, that you saw her in her community with her friends, her girlfriends, with her father. Bill Cobbs played the father in that, as well as with the people, the surrounding community. Sam Waterston was also the lead in that piece, playing a lawyer, and their relationship shifted during the course of that series. I enjoyed playing that role because there was level of honesty and complexity, a sense of contextualizing her in terms of history and our history that I'm very proud of, as well as playing, you know, doctors and lawyers and kooks.
Okay, you said kooks.
Okay.
Well, I know that you were in Lovecraft Country. That was a very unique and different.
Yes, I loved that show. I think, you know, all of the minds Misha Green host in creating that series, Jordan Peele, J.J. Abrams, several people who came together to hatch that show, which I thought was mind-bending.
Oh, it was.
It was groundbreaking.
It was
subversive, shocking entertainment.
That's a good way to describe it, Regina. That's a good way,
Shocking every week. I was going, well, how are they going to top this? And each week they did. I love that show.
And
I love the episode.
Okay.
The episodes I was in having to do with Black Wall Street.
Oh, yes. Which in recent years it's become more, it's more out there in terms of us recognizing, or in this generation recognizing it and knowing about it. Because when I was growing up, I knew nothing about it. Just recent years, you know, it really, really came out there to the forefront where people are really taking notice of it and the injustice of it. So let's move into what you're currently involved in. First, starting with The First Lady. Tell me about that and how you got involved with that series.
I got a call, asked me if I wanted to play Marion Shield Robinson. And I went, absolutely yes, to play opposite, playing opposite Viola Davis as Michelle Obama. I went, ecstatically.
yes.
And I had a wonderful time. I loved this woman and loved her from the moment she stepped out into the world stage, stepping into the White House, that Michelle Obama brought her mother to live with her in the White House. I was very excited about that and understood then the deepness of this family and the importance of keeping your roots intact and staying surrounded by family tribe. That keeps you whole, that protects you as you're weathering anything and everything.
Yes, it does. And also the fact that they were holding on to their faith as they went through this process and keeping that unit close.
Yes, yes. And I love the series in that they weave the story of Michelle Obama, Betty Ford, Eleanor Roosevelt, played by Gillian Anderson, and Michelle Pfeiffer, leading with Viola Davis also as producer of this piece, that you have the stories of women who are not stepping into other people's shoes as they're taking on this role, first lady, each one, that they are creating it in their own images with their own really brilliant minds. How do I want to, what is my legacy? How do I want to shape this into speaking on the issues that I feel are important? And so they resonate to this day.
Is there anything else out there that Regina Taylor still would like to do in her writing as a playwright, a screenwriter? Is there anything that you want to add to your already beautiful bouquet of work?
Oh, thank you so much. I am now in the process of writing my own pieces for TV, for film to be filmed. So I'm very excited about that, as well as continuing to write for stage. I'm presently working on a piece about the Fisk Jubilee Singers of Fisk University.
I am a graduate of Fisk University.
Oh, well. Okay. So you know these folk.
Yeah, ma'am.
Restoration right after the Civil War, you have one of your first African-American universities. Mm-hmm. To keep the doors open, they needed to raise money. And these students started traveling around the United States saying, for the President of the United States, command performance for the Queen of England, traveled the globe introducing spirituals to the world, spirituals that have been sung within the African-American community are now shared with the world. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, they helped raise that money to keep the doors open.
And the fact that a lot of people had not seen like a refined, educated group of young African-American people, especially around that time, like right out of slavery, they had not seen us. So they had these preconceived notions as to what we were about. And they served as ambassadors to show them a different perspective of African-American people, or some may have been free or former slaves in this country.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I will certainly be looking forward to that as a Fiskite. That is awesome. And I'm so privileged and excited to know that you're working on that.
Well, I should talk to you another time, in that you are a graduate. Maybe you can give me some insights as well.
Oh, yes. I can also tell you about how we used to say that Jubilee Hall, which is the first, that's the building, the first, the first permanent edifice built in this country for the edification or higher education of African Americans. That's what we were taught at Fisk. That is what they told us. And we were students there, and they used to say, oh, well, they tried to pretend that, that it was haunted and we had to be good and all that kind of stuff. It was, it's funny, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I thank you for this conversation today, for you sharing with us your career, your life, things that you are working on with, like I said, a beautiful bouquet of body of work that you've done and things that you're moving forward on that still uplift, encourage, and inspire, and especially things that we are proud of that you've done and are doing by us, for us, African Americans. We thank you so much. And how do people find you if they want to connect with you on social media?
Oh, I am on all platforms. So check me out at The Real Regina Taylor, Instagram, Regina Taylor, Facebook, The Regina Taylor, Twitter, and TikTok.
And TikTok. Oh, okay. Regina Taylor's on TikTok. Wonderful. But thank you, Regina. Take care. God bless you. And I wish you all the best in your endeavors as you continue to inspire, encourage, and uplift. Thank you. And audience, I want to thank you for joining us today as usual. Now, don't forget to subscribe so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting and inspiring show. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Believe me, you will not be sorry, and your soul will be happy. Now, if you'd like to reach me, Lynn Woods, you can find me on Twitter. That's at Lynn Woods, LINWOODS, or Instagram at Lynn Woods 96, or Facebook or LinkedIn at just Lynn, L-I-N, last name Woods, W-O-O-D-S. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. I'm Lynn Woods. God bless.